I'm very excited to dive in to an entirely new topic, almost entirely new topic. The last couple of weeks, we've been focused on different aspects of tefillah as part of deepening our avoda as we Baruch Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a schus to return to shul and to return to the avodas HaTefillah in a fuller way. We had a chance before Shavuos to focus on Birkas HaTorah, and then we had a chance for several weeks since Yom Tov. Good evening, Nathan. Good to see you. We had a chance for a couple of weeks since Yom Tov to focus on tefillah in the narrow sense. Tefillah in the specific sense of Shmoneh Esrei. Over the last couple of weeks, we had a chance to see a number of the key sugyas and the key discussions in Rishonim, various aspects of the halachas of tefillah, halachas of Shmoneh Esrei, and how we saw they all coalesced around the core definition of tefillah as Amidah L'fnei Hashem. I want to sort of cast our net a little broader now and continuing to work on the overall avodah of tefillah, but looking at something that's not officially tefillah, the mitzvah of tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin, it strikes you immediately once you begin to think about it. One expects to find a lot of intertwining richness, because and we're going to discover that there's an enormous amount of intertwining of lamdas and practical halacha and profound machshava, and it's not surprising. It's not surprising that there's such an intertwining of halacha and machshava in the world of tefillin. It's not surprising that the Beis Yosef quotes Zohar more extensively in Hilchos Tefillin than almost anywhere else in all of Beis Yosef and all the four Chelkei HaTorah. Not surprising at all, because you think about just the Pshutun Shel Devarim, the mitzvah of tefillin. It occurs to you right away. You think about Pshutun Shel Devarim, the mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah to take ideas and tie them to your body. And not just ideas, to take Ikari Emunah, to take our basic beliefs and tie them to our body. And you think about it, at first that's, well, yeah, that's what tefillin are. But you think about it, it's such a rich blend and such like a radical blend of very, very physical and very, very abstract. And here is actually a pair of tefillin. Hopefully, we'll be looking at some more. Rabbi Elazar Duna of Hashalom, the Sofer, gave this to me a couple of years back. Pasul tefillin that he thought could be useful in teaching the sugyos and halachas of tefillin. But just to consider for a moment, you don't usually look at tefillin from the inside. But just to remind ourselves, we'll soon, if not tonight, certainly next week, be getting to the details of exactly what goes where. But just to remind ourselves, inside every tefillin is a set of kalafim. Inside the shel yad is one kalaf with the four parshas. And every shel rosh is a four kalafim. Each of it has one of the four parshas of tefillin. Ikari emunah, yitzias mitzrayim, emunah na kadosh baruch hu, avas Hashem, mitzvah schar v'yonesh, connection to Eretz Yisrael. So many ikari yadus, ideas, abstract, conceptual ideas, are written on parchment, and we tie them to our bodies. It's hard to imagine, a more dramatic mix of the abstract and the visceral than the mitzvah of tefillin. So it's not surprising at all. We would expect to find an unusual amount of intertwining of practical halacha and profound and sublime machshava and Kabbalah. Kabbalah is, I can't speak for everyone on this call. But if Rabbi Schechter still says that he's not yet 40, I'm a Kal Vachomer, I'm not yet 40. So Kabbalah is going to remain beyond us. We'll see plenty of Machshav al Derech Nigla that's very, very intertwined with the Dinim. And the Sugyas of Tefillin are primarily in Maseches Menachos of Lamed Daled to Lamed Zayin. But by way of introduction, to the opening sugyas and daf lamed daled, which are the sugyas of the parshas shel tefillin, which right away thrusts us into literally and figuratively the contents of tefillin. I want to take a look first, We'll approach it from a different angle. I would ask you maybe the following riddle. Actually, let's hold off on the riddle for now. Let's take a look at a Gemara. The Gemara itself is hard to know what to make of it. We'll back up, we'll see a little bit in context, and then that will, seeing it in context, will perhaps answer some questions and open up others. Let's take a look at the bottom of Brachas Daf Vav Amud Alef. Let me share the screen with you. What are we to make of this Gemara? And I got it at the bottom of Vav Amud Alef. The Gemara we're talking about earlier, the Gemara we're talking about Kesher to Ribono Shalom, Kesher to Ribono Shalom in the context of Tefillah, in the middle of Vav Amud Alef, Kesher to Ribono Shalom in the context of Talmud Torah. People are Yoshim Ve'oskim B'Torah Shechina Imahem, and so on and so forth. Even if a Jew is sitting learning by himself, without a chavrus, without any kol chatzibur, the connection a Jew can have in various mitzvah contexts. After the two dots, near the bottom of brachas davav amud aleph. Up until now, that's not a shocking notion, that tefillah is a powerful connection to Bein Shalom, that Torah is a powerful connection to Bein Shalom, Beis HaKnesses, as the Gemara said earlier, the unique power of davening in shul, a gift that we've been reminded to appreciate. But here, take a look at this Agada. Rabbi Avner of Adam, Amar of Yitzhak, Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Miniach Tefillin. How do you know that Bein Shalom wears tefillin? So Gemara quotes a pasuk. Shenamar, a pasuk Yeshayahu, Nishpa Hashem b'imino b'zro uzo. Talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand and his left hand. So the right hand is Torah, b'imino ishdas lama. What's with the left hand? Or the other arm, which sounds like it's the left? That must be tefillin. Hashem oz lamo yitain. There's a chain of psukim to indicate that. And we're left wondering, well, what does that mean? That Rebbe Shalom wears tefillin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no body. So we know that everything, a point that Unkelus makes repeatedly, as Raman points out in Moreh Nevuchim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no body, whenever, but yet Tanakh is full of human descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anthropomorphic descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms. Tanakh is full of that. And those ways, L'saberes HaOzen, we're trying to describe a divine reality, but we don't have. We've never experienced being Lamal Min Azman, Lamal Min Amakom. We've never experienced having no body. All of our experiences, all of our intuition is shaped by our experiences. All of our experiences, obviously, are human. So the only way we can understand ideas is in human terms. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the Nevi'im describe him to us in terms that we can make sense of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself in human terms. So, well, that's for instance, the Tanakh says HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke. Asar Mamaros Nivra Olam, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ar, Vayomer Elokim Tach Eretz Desha. So we can begin to make sense of what that means. Doesn't mean that God used his mouth. He wasn't articulating the way that people articulate. Didn't even necessarily involve any sound. But when a person speaks, he's expressing his will. He's expressing his plan. He's expressing his desire. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah describes himself as speaking. So that's a way of saying to us, not that he spoke in the human sense, but the divine equivalent of speech, which at least as a first approximation, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed the world into existence, the way people speak. But what does this mean? Sometimes we understand the human metaphors for divine reality. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Ribono Shel Olam wears tefillin. What's this supposed to mean? And then the Gemara goes on to describe what's in the tefillin. Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rebchia Bar Avin. Well, how many tefillin demara alma maksiv behu? Hakadosh Baruch Hu tefillin. What's written in the tefillin? Such a interesting idea. We don't know what does it mean that Hakadosh Baruch Hu tefillin. Gemara goes on to list a series of psukim that might appear in the Ribbono Shel's tefillin. Psukim about Klal Yisrael. What does this mean? What is this meant to tell us? You would expect that this Gemara, if we could begin to understand this, it ought to have a lot to tell us about the tefillin. We ought to be able to appreciate a lot about tefillin by making sense of this Gemara. But what's it driving at? What's the Gemara driving at? So the truth is, the first layer is beginning to peel away the layers of the onion here. So the first layer might lie in a phrase. The tefillin, two of the four times the tefillin appear in Chumash, as we know, they appear twice at the end of Parshas Bo. Kaddish Shem HaYikiviyacha, the first two parshas of tefillin. Those are the first two times the Torah mentions tefillin. And of course, the other two times the Torah mentions tefillin, Chumash Devarim, Shema and Vahaya M'Shema. Now there's a phrase that appears probably seven times, at least seven times over the course of Chumash Devarim. And often in very central contexts. Often when the Torah is sort of trying to give us an overview of Yahdus as a whole. Here, take a look at these psukim. A pasuk in Nitzavim, a pasuk in Kisavo, a pasuk in Parshas Ekev. What phrase jumps out at you from these psukim? Anochi mitzavcha yom la'avos Hashem lokecha l'leches bedrachav lishmar mitzvosav. A pasuk in Nitzavim. And Parshas, moving back to Parshas Kisavo, from Perek Lamed to Perek Chavches. Kisishmar mitzvos Hashem lokecha v'halachta bedrachav. A pasuk in Parshas Ekev. If you'll keep all the mitzvah, Mishamar Tishmar is called mitzvah azos, la'asosa, li'avas Hashem elokeichem, lechaz b'chal drachav v'l'dav kabo. All these contexts are contexts when the Torah started giving like the view from 30,000 feet, zooming out to keep halacha as a whole, to live properly as a Jew as a whole. And there's a phrase that appears in all those contexts, and that phrase is halicha b'drachav. To go in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the lechaz b'drachav. The halachta bedrachav, the lechaz b'chal drachav. So what does that mean to walk in Ribbono Shel Olam? And then as I listed here, if you want to see, also appears in Perek Ches, in Perek Yud, in Perek Yutes, in Perek Rav, seven times at least in Chumash Devarim. Repeatedly. Now there's an eighth time that it appears. The first time that it appears, before all those references from Parshas Ekev and on. In Parshas Devarim, in Perek Aleph, Hashem Elokeichem Hoylech Lefneichem Baderech Lasur Lachem Makom Lachnoschem Ba'esh Laila. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu is the very beginning of Chumash Devarim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu is reminding Klal Yisrael of the extraordinary Chasadim that He did for us over the course of four decades in the Midbar. Hakadosh Baruch Hu walked ahead of us. Hakadosh Baruch Hu traveled ahead of us. He showed us the way. He told us one to turn left, one to turn right. Kadosh Baruch Hu was the original divine GPS. Right? There was the Anan Bayom, there was the Eish Balayla, La Roschem Baderech Shetel Chuba, Uve Anan Yomam. At night there was a pillar of fire that showed us the way to go, and in the morning, in the daytime, there was a pillar of cloud. He was Holech Lefnechem, and he was showing us the Derech Shetel Chuba. So there you have that language of Halicha Bedrachav, of walking in Kadosh Baruch Hu's ways. And there it's meant literally. There it actually means that we took the exact trail that Kadosh Baruch Hu laid out for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu had the miraculous beacon, the cloud, and the Eish, and those would travel, they would move, and we would turn, when they turned left, we turned left, when they turned right, they turned right, or when they turned right, we turned right, and so on and so forth. So that was literally a halicha, ha'olech lifnechem baderech. But the problem that Chazal raised in multiple places, and here Rashi in Parshat Ekev quotes it, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chavez, says, but that can't be the meaning of it elsewhere. It doesn't, when we talk about Halicha Bedrachav, normally it's in the context of doing mitzvahs. Now, the context generally of doing mitzvahs, in the 4 years of the Midbar, Kadosh Baruch Hu's mama is showing us the way to go. Now, you could have said, you could have said, well, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar literally showed us which decisions to make, literally to turn left, to turn right, to go forward, to go faster, to go slower, to stop, and so forth. So one could have said, metaphorically, Halicha B'drachav means following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions. And after all, the word Halacha does mean to go. So we could have said that Halacha B'drachav means to live life the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to follow the mitzvahs. Now, Chazal are not happy with that. Both the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Sotah reject that. Probably because if Halicha B'drachav means to keep all the mitzvahs, so then these psukim are very redundant. Lalechaz B'drachav V'lishmar Mitzvosav V'chukosav. Well, they mean the same thing. Kisishmar Mitzvah Hashem Elokecha V'alach T'B'drachav. You keep the mitzvahs, you'll go on his path. Again, seems redundant. Once again, over here, if Shamar Tishmur is kol a mitzvah azo shanochi, if you keep all of mitzvahs, lo leches b'chol drachav. So it sounds like it's not synonymous with keeping mitzvahs. It is something very basic and something very broad, something very fundamental. These concepts are always very fundamental, but it can't just be keeping mitzvahs. So Rashi quotes Rashi in Chumash in Parashas Ekev quotes the Gemara on Shabbos. He's a racham, you're a racham. The Gemara there says, the Gemara in Shabbos says, he's a racham, you should be a racham. He's a chanon, you should be a chanon. Kadosh Baruch Hu is kind, Kadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. We should be kind and merciful as well. If you take a look at the Gemara in Sota seems to say the same thing. The Rambam points out that there's a shade of difference. Because here in Sota, where is the Gemara in Shabbos focused? Let's take a look. Gemara Shabbos says, Racham v'chanon. Here the Gemara says, of course, another one of those psukim of Halicha b'darchei Hashem. Gemara quotes from Perek Yud Gimel. Acharei Hashem lokechem teilechu. You should walk after Ribbono Shel'olam. So if you have shel adam l'aloch achar shechina, how is that possible? Hello, Kvar Nemar, Ki Hashem Elokecha, Esh Ochlu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a consuming fire. That obviously, that too is a metaphor. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. So it said, L'halecha chamidosav, Hu malbush harum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is malbush harum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevaker chom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kover mesim, and so on and so forth. The Rambam discusses briefly in Hilchas Deis and at length in the Shemona Prakim that these two Gemaras are capturing two aspects. One is internal, one is external. That there's an internal Midah. The Gemara in Shabbos is talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Racham, Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Chana. A Jew has an obligation to have certain internal Midah, certain Tchunas HaNefesh, and they're expressed in terms of physical actions. The Gemara on Shabbos with the Racham and the Chanon, that's the internal Tchunas HaNefesh to develop a certain personality. And the Gemara in Sota is talking about the activities, the masim, that are the expression of that personality. And the Rambam understood that this Gemara is to be taken more broadly. It's not only the Gemara's examples are basically being nice and kind, doing chesed. And they take a look at the Rambam in the first two prakim of Hilchus Deis, in the Shemona prakim, his Akdam Shemona prakim, his Akdam to Perek Yavis, he understands it's more than just being a nice guy. The Gemara sounds like just being a nice guy. Rambam says, being a nice guy is a part of it, it's an example of it, but it's not the totality of it. Rambam says that the mitzvah of Halacha D'Drachav is more generally the mitzvah of a character development. All the different aspects of human personality. Yes, being kind and compassionate and sensitive, and also how one deals with frustration, and also questions of humility, and also questions of how you deal with money, and how you spend, and so on and so forth. The full range, all the dimensions of human personality, Rambam understands that Tikkun HaMidos is not just a nice idea, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Where is that mitzvah d'oraisa? Right here. The halachta b'drachav, halia, as we saw seven times in Chumash, the one in Devarim is literally to follow Hashem's path in the Midbar, but the other seven are this metaphor to follow Hashem's way, not literally to walk after Him, but to live in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as acting. Again, as we said before, those descriptions are always anthropomorphic. Kadosh Baruch Hu is described in human terms, and not 100% accurate, but the Rama writes in Hilchos Deis that the reason why Tanakh is full of human descriptions of divine mitos is because they're meant to give us a sense of the sort of personality that we're supposed, after which we're supposed to model ourselves. And that's this big, broad mitzvah of the Halachta Bedrachim. You see, let's take a quick peek. There's a lot going on in this Rambam, but just a very quick peek. The Rambam talks about this in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Even before he gets to the Mishneh Torah, it's at the very beginning. The way the Rambam organizes the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the first few are the central mitzvahs. So mitzvah number 8 of the 240 mitzvahs say, Shetzivan lehiz damos bo yisala kefi lefi yicholtenu. To make our, to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to act in a way that's similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lefi yicholtenu, according to our capacities. We are finite creatures, and he's an infinite creator, so obviously we're not going to be exactly like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but v'halachta bedrachav. And it points out that it appears many times in Chumash, in Ekev, and again in Ekev, in Re'ei, see, he quotes the Gemara in Sota, in Pu'ulos as well, and Midos Chashuvos. Both in terms of the inner mitos and in terms of the actions. The Rav famously took this and expanded this even more in thinking about, for instance, the second half of Halachic Man is largely developing the idea that one of the most basic things we can say at Kadosh Baruch Hu is that he is creative. We describe Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Borei Olam. He created ex nihilo, created the entire universe out of nothing. So human beings never create yesh me'ayin. We don't create something out of nothing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. But in our own small way, we can be creative yesh me'yesh. We create something from something else. So, and the Rav develops the primary thesis of this, for the second half of Halachic Man is that being creative is one of the most fundamental ways that a Jew can be mekayim v'alachta v'drachav. Creative in learning, creative in chesed, creative in music, creative in scientific discovery, and so on and so forth. Okay. So with all this in mind, though, here are two surprising aspects of it. So we have this mitzvah. So we have this language that Chazal already developed, and the Rambam expands further the notion of halachta bedrachav to develop the human personality after the divine model. With that in mind, let's come back to the opening Gemara in Brachas. Let's take a look at a Rashi on one of the most famous psukim in Chumash, one that we say or hear every single week. Kadosh Baruch Hu rests on the seventh day, and Rashi says, Kivayachal. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't actually rest, he wasn't actually tired. Hichtiv bi'atzma menucha l'lamed heimenu kal v'chomer la'adam. Sheheinach b'shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hichtiv b'yatman HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribbono Shel Olam dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should describe that I rested. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't tired, but he ceased his creative activity. He chose to step back from creative activity. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes that as resting to tell us that the halach, that we ought to be resting in a human sense on Shabbos. Now, in the context of what we just saw, so that's starting to sound like v'alachta bedrachav. And you think about what's going on with the tefillin as well. That's surprising. Agada in Brachas Davav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. So all of a sudden, what seemed like such a curious idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wearing tefillin, in the context of Chazal's approach to the halachta bedrachav in Shabbos and in Sota, so that's what we're saying, Shabbos and Tefillin as well. There are 248 mitzvahs asay, but a few, so they're all things we do because Hashem told us to do them. But there's a very small subset of mitzvahs, which are not only things that we do because Hashem told us to do them, but because he himself, in some divine sense, does them too. And that's something to think about. Which are the mitzvahs that Ribbono Shel Olam is described as doing? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described by the Gemara sometimes as learning Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described, describes himself as resting on Shabbos. And the Gemara Brachas understands that Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. So all of a sudden we see there's a certain very, very select subset of mitzvahs that have a halachta bedrachah aspect to them. And so now we say, okay, so this Gemara Brachas is telling me something profound. It's telling me that that tefillin is one of these rare mitzvahs that apparently are exceptionally central. So Shabbos certainly is, Talmud Torah certainly is, and Parak Tefillin also is an exceptionally central mitzvah. We need to understand a little more what that means. V'halachta v'drachav by a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that Rebbe Shalom is described as doing. But if we take a look at the next line of the Gemara, let's go back to that Gemara Brachas, we'll see that in a certain sense, Tefillin is the most v'halachta v'drachav dik of any mitzvah. Let's take a look right here. Because the Gemara goes on to ask, what is written in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? I mean, we left off with that question. If Nachman says HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, whatever that means, we still don't understand, by the way. We understand somewhat HaKadosh Baruch Hu learning Torah. Again, we don't know what it means in divine terms, but okay. Torah is Chachmas Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the Chachmah of Torah in some sense. I can at least work out the contours of what that means. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to rest on Shabbos. Again, not the way a human being rests from fatigue, but we do understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ceased his creative process. Okay. What does it even mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin? So, and in what sense is there a v'halach t'bedrachav? What would the v'halach t'bedrachav be? So take a look at what Rav Nachman Yitzchak says. But the very bottom of Brachas Davav Manav. What's written in Ribbono Shel Olam's tefillin? See, he says, a pasuk that describes the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are a unique nation, a goy echad. The word goy literally means a nation. Goy echad ba'aretz. Mimishtabach. So that obviously is very parallel to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokei Hashem Echad. We say our tefillin of Hashem Echad, and Ribbono Shel Olam's tefillin say the Klal Yisrael of the Goy Echad. I mean, Mishtabach Kud Shabrich B'Shivcha Yid Yisrael. I says, really? Kadosh Baruch Hu takes praise and takes pride in the praise of Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu would adorn himself, would decorate himself with the praise of Klal Yisrael. That's why Hashem would wear in his tefillin. That seems odd. The Gemara says, no. In? Absolutely correct. Dechziv, a pasuk near the end of Chumash Dvar, a pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, as Hashem he'emarta hayom, v'Hashem he'emircho hayom. You have been ma'amir Hashem this day, Moshe said to the Jewish people, and he has been ma'amir you. And a ma'amir is an odd word. For the grammarians, that's Omar. The Shorish is Omar, but it's Hifil instead of Paul. What does it mean to be ma'amir someone? So Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael, Gemara explains. Baruch Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, Atem Asisuni Chativa Achaz Ba'olam. You are making me into a unique item. Well, I mean, we didn't make Hashem anything. It means we're declaring, we're pronouncing, we're articulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's uniqueness in the world. So the same way we proclaim Hashem's uniqueness, Ani Aseschem Chativa Achaz Ba'olam. I'll proclaim your uniqueness. Atem Asisuni, where do you see this? So we proclaim Achdus Habore, Yichud Habore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. V'ani aseh eschem chativ achaz ba'olam. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Fascinating. So there's a parallelism here. And the Gemara goes on to say, shouldn't there be more than one pasuk in Ribbono Shel Olam's tefillin? If it's similar to the tefillin that he has elsewhere. So the Gemara says, yeah, there are other psukim also that speak about the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Those are, so to speak, in the other batim, the other parshias in Ribbono Shel Olam's tefillin. Now, what the Gemara is seizing upon is a parallelism in our relationship, a certain type of parallelism in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take pride in him and we sing his praises. He takes pride in us and he talks about our uniqueness. And the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are an expression of shevach of Klal Yisrael and the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. So what that captures is we're beginning to appreciate what it means that there's a v'halachta b'drachav and tefillin. We wear tefillin the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. What does it mean? Again, we can begin to understand what it means that Hashem rests on Shabbos. We can begin to understand what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in Chacham HaTorah. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin? What does that mean? So the Gemara has explained to him. Nachman Yitzchak has explained to us. Or maybe more precisely, V'chir Bar Oven is explained to us that when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, it means that he takes pride in the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, which gives us renewed appreciation for the significance of our tefillin. It's not just a mitzvah, a maisa that we're commanded to do, but there's a avalacht bedrachim that we're imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as I said before, there's a particularly powerful type of alach bedrachav, because the essence of this action is to reflect the other half of the relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's act, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears us with pride. And we're meant to wear him. When we wear him with pride, when we wear tefillin, when we are mishtabeach b'shivchei dekud shebrichu, there's a alach bedrachav, because we're being like Hashem in treasuring this relationship. And I want to take this one step further. This notion, again, what we've seen tonight, that, number one, we developed the idea of halachta bedrachav, as the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Sota do, as the Rambam expands upon it in several places. This broad-based idea of modeling oneself after the divine paradigm, and again in human imperfect human ways, but in some imperfectly human way, it tried to imitate the divine model. They saw that the Gemara speaks about it in the context of being nice and good and kind, and the Rambam understands those are examples of more broadly human personality and human character. But then we saw there are several mitzvahs that are also being described as v'alachta b'drachav. Rashi in Yisro is explicit that our menucha Shabbos is meant to parallel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's menucha, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself as being nach. And it stands to reason that's pshat in this Gemara, this opening Haggadah about tefillin. And the Gemara seems to say, now, not only there is v'alachta b'drachav, but it's particularly tight. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is be mishtabeach with us. So what we're meant to do is be mishtabeach with him. To decorate ourselves, to take pride in our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's uniqueness. And what I'd love to do is close by seeing a minhag that we have, close for tonight, with an insight and maybe a look forward where this leaves us in terms of the next sugya. We have a minig that appears on the page of Shulchan Aruch that we'll get to in the next couple of weeks. The Gemara is talking about making a bracha or brachos on Hanachas Tefillin. And then the poskim quote a minhag of reciting two psukim from Hosea in conjunction with finishing off the Hanachas Tefillin. After you already put on the Sheyal Sharosh, when we're finishing up or wrapping around our fingers, we say the Ve'er Astich. Probably the best known two psukim in the Nevuos of Hosea. Ve'er Astich li la'olam, Ve'er Astich li b'tzerek v'mish b'rches v'rachamim. That's Erusin. In Tanakh, it's true for many. There are a number of sharashim which appear in Tanakh with a sin and appear in the language of Chazal with a samach. And this is one, cheres is one, and sid is another, and erusin. So we're used to the word erusin with a samach, kiddushin, the first step of marriage. But in Tanakh, it appears as it does here, with a sin. Ve'erastich, I marry you, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael. It's one of the many places where Nevi'im Achronim capture the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael as a marital relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking about renewing the marital bond between him and us. Ve'erastich li le'olam, I marry you forever. Now it gets more specific. Ve'erastich li b'tzedek uve'mishpat uve'chesed v'racham, I marry you with righteousness, with justice, with chesed, and with compassion. And finally, Ve'erastich li be'emunah, I marry you with emuna v'yadat es Hashem, and you'll know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We've said those psukim countless times, thousands of times, probably. Thousands of times over the course of years and decades of wearing tefillin. So, if Minig Yisrael is to say those psukim, those are the first or just about the first psukim we say after Hanachas Tefillin, they probably capture something important. Now you begin to think of the psukim, the Radak already points out, he's not really sure the most obvious question, why the repetition? Ve'erastich, ve'erastich, ve'erastich. So if you only come across those psukim in the context of Hanachas Tefillin, say, what do you mean? The three ve'erastichs are corresponding to three times you wrap around your finger. Yeah, but that's backwards. Hosea said it before it was used for tefillin. Right? Well, what's with the... So the Radak is very bothered. He suggests Zachar Shlo Shapa'amim Ve'erastich. The three uses of the word Ve'erastich, it corresponds to the three Galios, Shagol Yisrael, the three major Galios. We went to Galos Mitzrayim, we went to Galos Bavel, and then Vizeh Gal Shanachn Bo Yom Galos Edom. V'chol Zman Seisa Min HaGalos Haya HaKel Yisbarach Ke'ilu Ma'areisosam. Every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goel us from a galus, it was, so to speak, as though he was renewing the marital bond, refreshing, revitalizing the marital bond. So this is really, so for the Radak, this is a picture of Jewish history and a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ve'erastich Li'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invested for us, in us forever, and every galus is going to end with the geula. I want to share with you a malbim, a very, very beautiful malbim. The Malbim is bothered by this question as well. And he points out, you know, Ve'erastich Li'olam is sort of like the title here. Where we have an eternal relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it sounds like it's breaking down into B'tzarek Mishmach Bechesiv Rachim. That's one side. And the other side is the Emuna V'yadas Hashem. Well, all these words and concepts, all important concepts, what do they mean? See, he says, take a look. He says, the Shleimus Ha'adam Tali B'Shnei Dvarim, Dvar Shebeinu Ben Chadero, Dvar Shebeinu Ben Adam L'Makom. The two halves of Halacha, Ben Adam L'Chadero, Ben Adam L'Makom. And he says, Ve'erastichi B'Tzedek V'Mishpat, that's Ben Adam L'Chadero, Tzedek and Mishpat. Ve'erastichi B'Amuna, that's Ben Adam L'Makom. And he gets more specific. He says, Tzedek and Mishpat. So Mishpat is behaving properly. Mashi is nahekefi shuras hadin. Treating other people justly, correctly. Not cheating, not lying, not taking advantage of other people, not being nasty to others. Doing things, living properly vis-a-vis other people. Tzedek means going lefnim shuras hadin. Not just Mishpat, not just strict justice, midas hadin, this is what I have to do. But going lefnim shuras hadin. Being generous with others. So those are the two halves of the two halves of the world of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And he says in Pasuk Chavez, look, the foundation of Ben Adam L'Makom is Emuna. Sheyamin b'Hashem v'Torah Sova Yudav. And then he says, you look back at the Pasuk, Tzedek v'Mishpat is the first half, Chesed Rachim is the second half. Be'emuna v'Yadat es Hashem. What's with the other half? So he says, if we bring to the table tzedek and mishpat, if the way we treat people is, number one, correct mishpat, and number two, even b'tzedek, it's lefnim mishuras adin, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so if that's our, as he puts it in this metaphor of marriage, if that's our nadan, if that's what the Jewish people as the kala bring into the marriage, that's a dowry that we bring in, these are inyanim yikarim, tzedek and mishpat, propriety and beyond propriety in Be'am L'Chavero, so the Hama'areis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this two-way street, he will bring the gifts of Chesed and Rachamim. He says, he'll have Rachamim on us, he'll take care of us when we're beaten down, and that's Mishpat, so he'll do right by us, and it'll even be Bechesed, it'll be Lefnim Meshuzin. If we're bringing Tzedek in our relationship with other people, then Kadosh Baruch Hu will respond with Chesed, treating us Lefnim Meshuzin. He goes on to say, in the world of Ben Adam L'Makom as well, Pasuk HaBeis, if we bring Emunah to the table, if we invest ourselves deeply in Ben Adam L'Makom,
based on a sense of belief, ultimately, v'yadat es Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself to us. His emuna is belief. I don't see. It's not clear. It's not demonstrated, but I believe. Again, the Rambam may take issue with this definition, but that's how the Malbim puts it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reciprocate. If we act consistently, properly, be'am l'makom, with a basis of emuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, in the long run, mida keneged mida, he will reciprocate by giving us yediyas Hashem, taking us beyond emuna. See, here's what's fascinating, Rabbosai. What the psukim that Minig Yisrael has, that we complete hanachas tefillin with these ve'eras tichs. So yes, certainly the wrapping around the finger looks like a wedding band, and that gets us thinking of the Erison. But there's so much, that's just the beginning. There's so many more layers here. Those psukim, according to the Malbim, speak to, the title is Vayirastichli La'olam, the eternal bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And you break it down, number one, into the different aspects of Avos Hashem, the Be'am L'Chaverim, the Be'am L'Makom. And the other dimension here is the reciprocity of our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deeply invested in his expectations of us, and he's seeking to reciprocate to us. We bring Tzedek and Mishpat, and he brings Chesed and Rachamim. We bring Emunah, and he brings Yediyah. That reciprocity of the relation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, recognizing that what we're meant to have with Ribbono Shel Olam is a two-way street, a bilateral relationship, that all of Halachas B'Drachav is built on that concept. All of Halachas B'Drachav in every area is built on the notion of Tzelem Elokim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with the capacity to be like him in some way, that mortal man, that a creature could have a relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as I said before, and we close with this, at first we thought that tefillin seems like such an odd type of halach to b'drachav. Shabbos, I understand. Torah, I understand. Midos, I understand. At least I can begin to understand. But tefillin, what was it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Now we realize, adirabba, tefillin in a sense is the most central halach to b'drachav of any of them. Because the whole essence of tefillin is that there's a bilateral relationship that a Jew can have with the Borei Olam. Strange though that may sound. How could I have a human being have a relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But that's exactly what tefillin are. We're mishtabech b'shvacho shel makom, and he is, strange though it sounds, mishtabech b'shivchenu. That's what the Gemara said. Could it be? The Gemara says, yes, absolutely. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes pride and decorates himself, so to speak, with the shevach of Klal Yisrael, and we do the same thing. It is ki'ilu, that is, he's wearing, again in human terms, a memento of his love for us, and we wear a memento of our love for him. And all of, and that's, in a sense, the most powerful, most direct expression of Tzelem Elokim. And all the other halachas and drachas are built on this concept. And that's what the Erastichs capture. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for us, is a bilateral relationship, where we're doing the sort of things that we can do as humans, to act b'tzedek v'mishpat, and to act b'emunah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seeking to reciprocate in divine ways. So now let's recap. So we got started by saying that we would anticipate that the sugis of tefillin, the surface of which was just begun to graze, this was just a preface, the sugis of tefillin, we would anticipate a rich nexus of lamdas and practical halacha and profound machshava. And we're beginning to, and we said we'd expect, you know, the whole essence of the Maisa Mitzvah is this bringing together of the abstract and the very visceral, taking ideas and tying them to our bodies. The whole Maisa Mitzvah bespeaks the connection between halacha and machshava. And as we're seeing, as we begin to scratch the surface, this is the ultimate of halacha b'drachav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, we wear tefillin. And the tefillin themselves are an expression of the two-way relation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And the v'psukim ve'erastich, certainly according to the Malbim, very much reinforce that. And what this turns our attention to is what, well, we're not going to get into it now, but to lay the stage for next week, And Meretz Hashem, we'll open the sugyas on Daf Lamed Daled and Beis, open with a focus on the Parshios. Most of, and unless there's strong interest otherwise, I don't want to, by and large, get into a lot of the details of the construction of the Chefs of Sheltvillen, about the Ritzuos and the Titur and so on and so forth. I assume probably is more interest in getting mostly into the Hanachas HaTfilin, and what we do with the halachas for me, not I'm you, rather halachas for the Sofer. But I do want to start with the sugya of the Parshios, both because the Machlokas Rashi and Beyotam and Tfilin Beyotam, a very, very fascinating sugya, and it more than any other piece of the Sofer's Hilchus Tefillin, it captures literally and figuratively the contents of the Tefillin. That's what it's all about, is what's written in the Tefillin and how we organize them. And as we're going to see, the Lumdus is fascinating. It gives us a lot of interesting side aspects, byways of Halacha as well. And we're going to see that the Lumdus of the Machlokas is very intertwined with Machshava, and it's going to give us new perspective on what is inside of our tefillin. So Mitch, I'll put out the Ma'amar Komus already out. Ma'amar Komus number 2, our Ma'amar Komus have focused on the Machlokas, Rashi, and Otam, in terms of how the Parshas are organized in the tefillin. We'll pick up with that in Mirtz Hashem next week. I both say thank you so much for joining.